Welcome to the Speak Like a Leader podcast with John Bates. Welcome to the show. With me today is somebody that I have known, gosh, I probably shouldn't admit for how long, right?
At least 15 years.
Yeah, right. And I thought I wasn't much older than 15, but we met when we were already grownups. So this is somebody that I've known for a long time. I've had a lot of fun with him, and I met him in kind of one of those places where you get to know people really well, really quickly, sort of was the trenches of transformation. And his name is Larry Hudson, and he's a voiceover actor. Yes, he actually makes his living doing voiceovers. He's a voiceover coach. He trains people in how to create and edit voiceovers. He's, good at that entire world. He's also just an absolutely fun, hilarious, great guy to hang out with. And Larry, I'm really happy that you could make some time to join us. Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, John. It's been so long, and I've watched your career continue to develop over these years, and it's just exciting to be with you for me.
Well, thank you. I mean, gosh, I think back to when we first met and where I was and how lost and scared and afraid and like what a loser I thought I was just going to be forever. And it's really nice to look back on that kind of stuff be in the middle of it.
You were still a leader in my eyes.
Well, thank you, Larry. I appreciate that a lot. I appreciate that very much. And not to go too deep right away, but I think that what you just said is one of the key leadership traits that I have gotten attenuated to over the last 15 years is you saw me as a leader, you spoke to me as a leader, and I stepped into being a leader. Like you saw that in me before I saw that in me, and it means a lot to me, and it made a huge difference.
Well, it's so interesting because at that time when we met was when I was really going through it about becoming a leader and learning that at the time, what I had an epiphany about is that who I knew to be and what I knew to do was not going to be able to accomplish what I wanted to accomplish. And I was actually in that process of truly breaking myself up and putting myself back together in the way that I dealt with the problems, the challenges of what it meant to be a leader. And just quickly, one of the big things was I was such a people pleaser.
Yes. Oh, boy, you and me both.
That what I couldn't do is I couldn't ask you to do something for me unless I'd already done something for you first.
Right.
And you can't lead that way.
No. Yeah. No.
You've got to come up with a whole other set. And what I learned was it's really about acknowledging people and encouraging people and in essence, creating loyalty. And that's what puts you into being leader. Also throwing your hat over that wall and going, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to figure it out. That's what leaders do.
Yeah. That's fabulous. Gosh, it just brings back so many memories. And it's such a pleasure to see you now here.
We've developed really, a lot really over the last 15 years.
Oh boy. And it's been some work. It's taken something.
It's not always easy, but it's worth it.
Totally worth it.
Yeah.
Totally worth it. And so interesting. I think that's another thing that I really learned out of that experience is that, you're tall, you're good looking, you've got a great voice, you know what you're doing. Like everybody looks like they're so totally have it together, right? And yet really nobody does. Like, and anybody that's pushing themselves by nature doesn't have it together at the level they're currently playing at because they're pushing themselves, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And literally, I look at over what's happened to me over the last 15 years and what drove me, this is kind of a great thing, kind of an inspirational thing. A very good friend asked me the best question. I was at the time I was unemployed and this is before voiceover happened, but she asked me great question. She said, what do you want your life to look like? What do you want it to be about every day?
Yeah.
And I could only come up with four things that I thought were awful and not adequate. And when I looked back not too long after went, wow, those were the four things that I really needed to say. And they were, one, I said, I don't want to work a 9-to-5. That was just my thing. Didn't want to work for people. I wanted to work with people. I wanted to do a variety of things because I like being busy and I like lots of variety.
Yeah.
Number four was, I wanted the freedom that if I wanted to go up to Mammoth and ski for 3 or 4 days, it wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
And literally what happened was within 90 days, a conversation about voiceover happened and the bell went off and the light went on. And I go, this is what I'm going to do. And I went after it with a vengeance.
Yeah.
And that's
wow. And the rest is history.
The rest is history. And, you know, I didn't design everything, like every little piece. It was just, these were the things that I wanted to have happen. And then, and here I am in my designed life.
Yeah. It's so fabulous. And you even have the URL LarryHudsonVO.com.
Correct.
People can find you at LarryHudsonVO.com and people can email you if they want to talk to you about this, maybe get some coaching or something at LH@LarryHudsonVO.com.
That is correct. It'll always
be. So, you know, so interesting when we reconnected, because immediately I was just like, ding, 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 ding. You know, everybody needs to know what you know. And a lot of, now, number one, I think that from our conversation, as we were kind of getting setting this up, there's a lot that people that want to be great speakers and do TED Talks and be great leadership communicators can learn from you. And even more, there's a lot of great stuff that everybody can learn from you, because this whole virtual work thing is not going to go completely away ever, right? Like, well, I mean, I do.
My business completely changed. I mean, at when COVID hit, I was only going into the studios about 10% of the time. Now it's 1%.
Yeah.
They don't even bother. I mean, everything that we used to go into studios for, now we do from home, because we all need to have a recording space, and it's demanded that you have that to be in this business.
Yeah.
And so, that carries over to the world of Zoom and Squadcast and all that, you know, it's everywhere.
Well, I tell people your leadership presence is now essentially all about your virtual presence.
Yeah.
How do you show up on that Zoom screen? You know, how do you, and do you show up on that Zoom screen? You know, like if you're a leader, you got to be on video. I'm sorry. Like if you're at a meeting, even if it's someone else's meeting and you're not on video, they all think you're playing Tetris, you know, like, I mean, so this whole world of showing up in the virtual realm is it just everywhere now.
It's mandatory.
Yeah. So there are some things that we could learn from the world of voiceover.
Yes.
That you, it's so great that, you know, I mean, neither of us were doing what we wanted to when we first met 15 years ago.
I'm trying to remember what I was doing.
Yeah.
I was
right.
I was in a job that was okay, but not loving.
Yeah. Yeah. And boy, and I had lost my .com company and I was still fumbling around and I almost died of an autoimmune disease. I was so upset by that whole experience and so down on myself. And, you know, so it's pretty cool, you know? So if you're listening to this and you're having a tough day, just know it's worth hanging in there. Just, you know, like just keep showing up. Right.
That's right. It's all about the one foot in front of the other, tenacity. Yeah. Listen, the people that there are many, 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 many people that start in voiceover. And the one thing I tell them that, you know, the only right reason why most people fail in this business is because they give up. It's not because they don't have the talent. It doesn't mean that they won't eventually get there. The thing that's really mysterious about this gig doing voiceover is it feels a lot of times like you're on the 50-yard line, you know, and you've got 15 yards to go. You know, it's like it's 15 and it's fourth down and 15 yards to go.
Yeah.
And what happens is all of a sudden one email comes in and you realize, oh my God, I was on the 1 yard line. But it felt
and like bingo
on the 50 and everything changes.
And well, that's a really great metaphor for life. I think, you know, that's how it feels like in between closing gigs for a lot of people. Right?
Absolutely. It just feels
like
we're going to happen again, but it will. You gotta, it's not about like my goal isn't booking the job. my job or my job. My goal is to book the job. My job is not to book the job. My job is to do the auditions.
Yeah. And then, right. There
and
you
then
go.
You just keep cranking them out. And then stuff just starts coming this way.
Coming back. Well, so over the years, you've learned some things that could be really useful to people. And we were talking before we jumped on about the five different type. So let's start, though. Let's start with the thing of you're in voiceover and you're reading. And most leaders are not going to be reading, but there's still a lot that they can learn from you.
Absolutely. So, you just got to kind of bridge the gap a little bit. Because the biggest thing is, even though I'm reading, my job is to sound like I'm not.
Not, yes.
Yeah. My job is to make it sound like I'm just, you know, talking to you, having a conversation. And there is a cadence. This is where it gets really weird. When you and I are having a dialogue, notice that you don't even know what the next word out of your mouth is going to be.
Right.
And it's like, it kind of just falls out of your mouth. And it's nanosecond between the time your brain calculates all that and when it actually comes out of your mouth. What that does is it actually creates a cadence in the way that we speak that is what we call conversational.
Yeah.
And the hardest part, and again, if you memorize a script, you're going to put your natural cadence into that. But if you're just reading the script, the difference is when you and I are having a conversation, what's driving those words out of my mouth is my intention, is my desire to want to communicate something. But now if I have a piece of paper with all the words on the page, now I can just read the words. Well, wait a minute.
Right.
But we don't talk by just reading, you know, an entire sentence with five different ideas and two phrases all together. We talk in ideas and in phrases. That's like, you'll hear me. I'm separating things. I even stutter sometimes, you know, that's conversational. So we're trying to bring that to a voiceover script. So it takes a little work to learn how to do that. And I'm going to show you some little tricks that I have that will do that. But I want to talk about the five reads first. Okay.
Let's do that. Let's do that. That's awesome.
So this was not made up by me. It was made up by one of my coaches. So I give her complete credit for this, but and it's now kind of out in the universe of voiceover that we all know these five reads. And the five reads are warm and friendly, which is like not hard hitting. It's not a hard sell. You know, there might be a little sell in it, but it's still very welcoming, engaging. It has brightness and maybe even a little mischievous when requested. Okay.
Okay?
The second read is what we call a real person. Now, the real person is very similar to warm and friendly, but it's more random. It's a little more off the cuff, and it's kind of rough around the edges. You know, there might be a little more stutter, a little more improv around it. That's called the real person. Then you have what we call Ryan Dry, and Ryan Dry is just snarky. And you'll hear a lot of those, a lot of females will be really snarky. Like the and again, it's not like, you know, they're being the B word, but they're a little snarky, like, hey, you know, and they're relating to you, like, yeah, isn't it? This is bad. You know, that's how it comes off. And then number four would be an authoritative read, which you could all understand. You know, when you're standing in front of when you're standing, let's say, on a TED stage, you're going to have a combination of warm and friendly and then sometimes extremely authoritative.
Right.
And typically authoritative is what we call matter of fact or to the point. You know, I know more about this subject than you do. So you really want to listen to me because I really want to give you something really important. And it's not bombastic, but it's going to be very matter of fact.
Yeah.
And then the fifth one is what we call the cosmetic read, or the luxury read. So in other words, Lexus or BMW or Lindt chocolates, you know, Dove chocolates, anything that's kind of that rich, sort of luxurious. It's going to be, for a woman, it's going to be kind of flirty and sexy. And for a man, it's going to be like swagger and confidence. That's the way it's come off. And again, it's all very tempered. You know, these are all little itty bitty nuances between one and the other. And you can't, at any time, typically in voiceover, anytime you think about that, you want to do something like, I really need to accentuate that word and I want it to come out of my mouth accentuated. If you think that hard about it, it's going to come out too much.
Okay, there you go.
And what's going to happen is we, as the listener, we can smell BS a mile away.
Yes, yes. You know,
we can tell when somebody's being inauthentic.
Yes,
and what we want to listen to is authentic people, you know, bottom line. So that's part of kind of what happens as far as, you know, being able to make these really nuanced adjustments when you're reading a script. And typically, you know, I would say more than half of the work I do, they just send me the script and I just give it to them. And I might give them takes depending on how long it is. Uh-huh. Only less than half is when they're actually directing me. And typically, even when they are, they're still relying on me as a professional to know what sounds good and what doesn't. I mean, the average 30-second to 60-second commercial that I do, when I do call a directed session, only takes about 14 minutes to do the session.
Yeah.
Because I just get to it, you know?
Do it.
Do the three things and, you know, they give them three takes and they go, wow, we're done. This is great. Awesome. Send it to us. And then they.
Yeah.
So, but the point is where it comes from is inside. That's the thing. And whether you're standing on a stage or in just in front of a room or here virtually. And by the way, there's a big difference between coming off on a screen like this than standing in front of a room. A lot of what works in front of a room doesn't work on this little screen that you're seeing me and John on right now. It just doesn't. So the magic word is authenticity. You know, just being.
I totally agree.
You know, you just got to be who you are. Anytime you're reading or, you know, trying to pull one over on, we know.
Yeah.
You're not fooling anybody. You know, so that's well, how that.
And to tie that back to my work in the TED format and my work with speakers and people pitching and presenting, when people have a written script, I think what you just gave me is a new way to talk about what goes wrong there. Because, you know, I tell people the last time a well-written speech worked was the Gettysburg Address. You know, since the Gettysburg Address, that hasn't worked.
Hasn't worked.
What I think is happening is when someone's speaking, not from a written script, but when they're speaking, they've got this intention to communicate. And when they have the script in front of them, they have the intention to read the script.
Exactly.
And that's a different intention. And it's very obvious.
Right. And all you're trying to do is get the words right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show you, we're going to look at a script and I'm going to show you how you could break it up. In fact, even if you're just memorizing that script or even reading that script, what you could do to make it sound more real.
Okay. Is that?
Yeah, we can do it right now if you want.
Sure.
All right. Hold on. Let me pull it up really quick. Where did I go? I know I had it open here. Hold on. Let's see here. Oh, I thought I had it open. Okay.
It's okay.
No, we'll get it here.
We don't mind.
Yeah. Here. Oh, there it is. It's hiding. So I got two scripts that I pulled up for us. And here, I'm going to get it open and then I'll share the screen. Am I able? Here, let me just look and see if I'm able.
Oh, you know what, Larry? I'm sorry. We're just going to be audio.
Okay.
On this one.
Okay.
So you don't need to share the screen, but you will need to tell us what you're looking at.
So, yeah. So this is, I'm going to look at one sentence. Okay.
Okay.
And here's the sentence. If we are to address the vital needs of tomorrow, comma, we must start by answering the larger questions of today. Simple statement, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, the first thing that I do when I ask people to, after they read this, I go, okay, now I want you to read it again. And this time I want you to stop when you get to the end of what you think is the first phrase. Okay, so I'm going to read the whole thing again, and then I'm going to do that. If we are to address the vital needs of tomorrow, we must start by answering the larger questions of today. So immediately, okay, so here it is. This is the first phrase. If we are to address the vital needs of tomorrow, comma, So that's the phrase. And the second phrase is, we must start by answering the larger questions of today. Now, I did pause in between those two things. So it felt, even though it was still a little bit reedy, it felt, you know, it wasn't too reedy because I'm separating that phrase. Now, next thing. So my first phrase is, if we are to address the vital needs of tomorrow, now the question is, okay, so where's the first idea? And the first idea is, if we are to address, and the next idea is the vital needs of tomorrow. And the next idea is we must start. And the next idea is by answering. And then, well, that isn't good. I never have my phone on either.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Larry's in demand.
In demand. It's right. I think it was spam anyway. And then, so we must start is an idea. And then by answering is an idea. The larger questions, and I like to put another separation there, and then have of today. Now, so what I've done is I've chopped this all up. So this is what it would sound like if we chopped it all up. If we are to address the vital needs of tomorrow, we must start by answering the larger questions of today. Now, that's pretty choppy. So what I've done, though, is I've separated all the parts, and now I have to choose which ideas I want to put together and which ones I can leave separate because they're bringing more meaning. It's all about meaning. So you're just trying to generate meaning. So this is the way I would do it to make it sound more conversational. Mm. If we are to address the vital needs of tomorrow, we must start by answering the larger questions of today. So you hear there are some that I eliminated. I eliminated two of the separations because that gives it this cadence that's more like I'm thinking about what words going to come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
That's what those pauses indicate for people. There's also what's interesting is if you want to accentuate something, there's only two ways I accentuate anything. And that is by either separating it, giving a little pause between it,
and
raising up a word. So for instance, on this script, there's what we call a tag. It's sort of the final line. And the tag is ADM, period, serving vital needs, period. Okay?
Now,
so the name of the company is ADM. So think about what this sounds like if I don't give a pause there. ADM, serving vital needs. Okay. But as soon as you separate it, ADM, serving vital needs. Now it accentuates the ADM.
Yeah.
So that's like a huge thing to understand. You don't have to bang it or hit it with a baseball bat. All you got to do is separate it. The other thing that you can do that will accentuate a word is raise it up a little bit. For instance, on the last sentence that we were talking about, a lot of people do read like they wouldn't say it this way, but they would read it this way. If we are to address the vital needs of tomorrow, we must start by answering the larger questions of today. And it's like, you know, something about it doesn't feel right. It's because they accentuated the word must.
Yeah.
And really where the accentuation is on the word start. We must start. And it's not an accentuation. I'm just landing on it. We must start. Yeah. And I'm raising it up a little bit. Just that little bit will accentuate what needs to be accentuated to bring the most meaning forth. Because my job is only about expressing ideas and getting people engaged in the ideas. So meaning is everything. The sound of my voice has nothing to do with it.
That's really an interesting point.
It's huge that, especially with people when they start in voiceover, they think it's all, well, everybody tells me I have a great voice. I should be doing voiceover.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Nothing to do with the. I mean, listen, there are some guys and women with amazing voices, like beautiful pipes. But if you can't, if your mechanics aren't right, there's no meaning.
It doesn't matter.
And it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Wow. It's very, very, very interesting. That is something I'd never really, I just always assumed there was one dude smoking in his basement going, you know,
in a world where there used to be, his name was Don LaFontaine and he was the guy that invented in a world.
Totally.
Known as in a world guy.
Yeah,
he was the in a world guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's branched out a little.
Oh, yeah. Then. And there's now, instead of, you know, three guys, there's probably 20 that are doing movie trailer and promo, you know. But right, it's a small club. It's a very small club, you know, because you got to have that voice, you know.
Yes. Well, and the interesting thing is that, to me, is the ability to convey the meaning is the real thing. I mean, and of course it is, but that's just,
we forget about that a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I can say in hindsight, I knew that, but I didn't act like I knew it. I wasn't having it impact me.
Right.
Now I get it on a whole different level. It's really good.
So I wanted to give you kind of a list of like the big mistakes that people make.
Yes.
So the first mistake that most people make when they come to voiceover, and it's so funny because where it comes from is they're trying to make things sound casual.
Yeah.
And instead they suck the meaning and the authority out of it.
Yes.
And what people do is they do what we call upspeak, which is really well known in the world of Valley Girl speak.
Yes.
Kardashians totally. Speak. They upspeak all the time. And they have what we also call vocal fry. But it's not so much the vocal fry, because there's a lot of commercials with lots of vocal fry. It's the upspeaking that makes it sound like a question. And also basically takes away the authoritativeness out of it. I actually have a recording, and I don't know how I found this, but I use it in my teaching, in my coaching. And it's like, once people hear it, they're really anti-upspeak. And I don't know if this was a real commercial or it was just like somebody created it, but it's this guy with this big, deep voice, and you'll hear what it is. So let me play it.
Okay. This is a great lesson for leaders too. So important.
All right.
I work on this all the time.
All right, here we go.
Ford won't be undersold on tires. They'll find the perfect set of tires for your Ford based on your vehicle, driving habits, and local conditions. Because they have Ford trained experts with over 1 million hours of combined training nationwide. So they know your Ford inside and out. Other garages might not be as knowledgeable. And there's nothing worse than someone who's unsure of what they're talking about. Right? When it comes to your Ford, beware of parts unknown. See participating store for details.
So there you go.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm happy to give it to you if you want to use it, because it's such a great example, you know.
Yeah, boy, send it over. That is a great, you know, I wrote an article for Inc. magazine about this, and I said this one habit is draining all your negotiating power.
Absolutely. Anytime you upspeak, it's like, I'm not quite sure about what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even have to be way up like a big question. Yeah. It's just a little bit makes you sound like you're completely uncertain, like I just did, about what I'm talking about.
Well, and you know, one of the things that really helped me and helped a lot of my clients is that it dawned on me that I think that for a lot of people, there's an element of wanting to get other people's buy-in.
Mm, yeah.
And so going up at the end, like,
what
you know,
do you think?
This is what we're going to do.
Yeah. What do you think?
And, all right. Yeah, exactly. But it comes across like nobody wants to buy into that, because it comes across like you have no idea what you're doing, and you're just like, it just so dramatically decreases the power of whatever you said.
Absolutely. 100%.
So, yeah. So, okay, good. So what are some
usually
other
where it shows up, by the way, as well, is it'll show up in lists when you're doing lists of things, like a list of three in a row, three things in a row. It'll always be on that first one, man. They upspeak that thing like crazy. So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
The other one that I have is emphasizing words that are unimportant. We must start by answering the larger questions of today. No, we must start by answering the larger questions of today. You know, it's like people get fixated on words. And I have a rule. I say there are no important words. There are only important ideas. And if raising up a word within that idea brings the more meaning forth in that idea, then it's valid. Otherwise, get rid of it. Okay.
That's great.
Yeah. The other one is bridge words. This is a big one. Emphasize the bridge words, or and and. Today, I want to go to the store, and I want completely distracts the listener to the word and instead of what you're about to say.
Right.
So that's another one. The other little one, going back to the lists, like let's say you have a list of, I want to go to the market, the post office, and Costco. So notice that I said it. I didn't say it. I want to go to the market, the post office, and Costco. I tie the two last ones together. And it's easier for people to remember. I want to go to the market, the post office, and Costco, because I put the third one closer together to the second one.
Yeah.
That's another one. And then
that's great.
Let's see. I had one just looking to see what else I had. Yeah. So there's only two ways that I emphasize anything. And that is either separating it, giving a little pause either before or after. You'll know what's natural if you're using just your instincts. And then the other thing is raising it up a little bit, just raising. And you don't need to go, you know, today. It can just be today. We wanted, you know, we want to be with John because we really like being with John. Okay. So it's not today we want to be with John because we want to be with, you know, it's today we want to be with John because we want to be with John, you know, that kind of thing. It's, it's always about nuance.
It's, you know, this is one of the things that I think it comes down to a lot with people in their TED like talks and their actual TED talks, their TED like talks, their speeches to the board, like whatever. There's so much nuance available in word choice and delivery and just everything. And I think it starts to get, I think it's really good to be very conscious of things. And then
you got
to
let it go.
Let it go, right?
Yeah.
And then, and just come from what is the meaning you want to communicate? Come from that desire to communicate.
Well, and it's, you know, it's kind of back to where we started. When I start with a new coaching, you know, voiceover coaching client, the thing that I will say is, okay, the whole thing about, do you notice that you don't know what the next word out of your mouth is going to be? And they go, yeah, of course. I never know. And they respond and I go, yeah. And you didn't know that you were just going to say, I never know. You know, it just comes out. And then I go, okay, great. Where are those words coming from? And I go, and by the way, the answer to this question is also the answer to what is the essence of all communication? And most people don't know what it is. And it's intention. Your intention is what drives everything. Your desire to want to communicate something to somebody is everything. If you listen, you can, we can hear it in our politics when somebody's just going, like a talking head, but they really don't. And even if you agree or disagree with what someone is saying, you can tell when they're really convict their intention. They want you to get this because they believe it to be the truth, you know? So, so that's a huge thing to come from, especially when you're standing in front of a room, whether it be, you know, a boardroom or standing on a TED stage. It's about, you know, you want your intention to come through in whatever it is that you're saying. And that's my job as a voice actor is, you know, people, one of the directions you get like a lot will be, well, from a coach is, I like the read, but it just didn't sound like you were connected. And what they really mean is, I'm not hearing your intention in what you're saying. You're just reading the words. So the idea is to be able to make those words sound like they're coming from my intention. And that's what takes time to learn how to do. Unless when you're reading, when you're just, if you memorize something, then you can begin to put yourself into it because the words, they're already, you know what the words are going to be. And you've already kind of planned it out. But again, it's about that knowing where it is that you pause. One of the things that I say, I always ask people is, so who have you read for most in your whole life? Who have you read for most? And most parents will always say their kids. And I go,
oh, yeah.
And I go, nope. Who read for the most? And they think about it. And then all of a sudden they go, oh, me.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that is correct. Now. Yep. Remember, you're reading these scripts. You're not reading for yourself anymore. Now you're reading to try to communicate something, to get something out there to the listener. You're reading for the listener. And one of the things that I did when I started in voiceover that was the greatest thing ever, for the first 5 years, I read to second graders, two different classes, every Monday for 5 years.
Wow.
And it was the great, because they are tough, man.
Yes,
second graders, you know, they all have no teeth.
Yeah.
They've all lost their teeth. And they, you know, you're full of it. They know you're full of it. But they love when you have fun and you're reading. You know, like I remember we had, you know, the El Coyote, you know, and I would do this voice. I'll huff and puff and blow your casita down. And they would all start to do the same voice. And, you know, but what was so great about that is I wasn't reading for me. I was reading for them.
That's so great.
You know, and bring whatever you need to do to make that happen.
And I want to second your what you just said. I do short little videos that I send out every Sunday. And a long time ago, I did one about treating your employees like children, right? And actually, there is a place to treat your employees like children. I say, look, if you're going to read One Fish, Two Fish to your kids, it'd be like One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, right? But then you go in to the office and you get in front of the board or something, and you're giving them the same sort of stuff, but it's One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish,
right?
You know, and it's like, why would you make it fun and exciting and interesting for kids and then not do that for your colleagues, right? Because it really is. It's about landing it over there and whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm looking at, I wrote down a few things and I think I pretty much covered everything that we had here. So is there any questions that you have for me directly, just out of everything that we kind of went over?
Well, you know, are there any gigs that you've done that you're proud of that you'd like to talk about or that were weird, that you learned something or anything like that?
Well, the job I loved the most was the one that I said the least amount of words and made the most amount of money.
That's not a bad job.
That was the best one just because of that. I've done so much work over the 12 years. I mean, I've done commercials for Tropicana, Quaker Oats, Mylanta. I just did a new one. What was it? True Phone or no? They just got bought by Verizon. Where I made the most money was when I did a movie trailer for War Horse. That was a movie. It was about, I think it was in 2012 or 13. And literally all I said was War Horse, now available on demand, pay-per-view and movie download. And then I did a bunch of tags for all the different cable stations. It was like a $6,000 job. It was like, it was like like per word, it was the most money I'd ever made.
That's cool.
You know, I was the voice of Kubota Tractor. And I did all their tractor commercials and their zero turn motor mowers and all that. Let's see, who else? I'm just trying to think. You know, it's my job again is to audition and forget about it.
Right. You know, yes. Perfect. I think that's good for all of us to remember.
And then they're, you know, again, one of the jobs on my end is to knowing, and this is not any different, like you're just talking about what of the five reads, what's going to keep someone's interest based on where you are. In other words, if you're having a one-on-one with somebody, it's going to be different how you say something than if you're speaking to a room of seven or eight people. And it's certainly even more different if you're speaking to a room of 50 people. There's a different, you're coming from a different place. So my job is when I look at a script, I'm analyzing what do I think they want? Because we get what we call specs from people. The directive, like this is kind of what we want it to sound like. We'll get stuff like, so we want it to sound kind of like Morgan Freeman, but a little bit like Michael Jackson. You know, it's like,
right.
Two very different things. And this happened to me. It's a great example of this. I was on a directed session. I had two people that were directing me. And the woman says to me, so we want you to read this. We want it to be really conversational, you know, kind of warm and friendly. And I go, okay, great. And then the guy goes, yeah, like a movie trailer. And it's like, well, wait a minute. These are two different things, but I'll give you both reads. So I gave him the warm and friendly. And then I gave him a little more intense, which was more of the movie trailer. And she was like, wow, that was awesome. Like I had no idea. And I liked them both. She goes, and this was the best direction I ever got. She said, can you read it and try and make me cry? Because it was some medical thing. And I did. Okay. And she went like, she was like stunned. And she went, yeah, oh my God, I almost had a tear come up. Now I'm really confused because I don't know which one I like. Uh-huh. And I said, well, you know, it just really depends on what your market is and where you're trying to grab them, where you're trying to inspire them to buy this product or whatever. It was like buying insurance or something. So that's my job, is to figure out sort of the demeanor and the type of read that somebody's really looking for. Is it really matter of fact, or is it more, you know, kind of happy-go-lucky, warm and friendly, or even a little, you know, guy next door? You just got to figure that out. That's what takes time to learn when you look at a script, to kind of read between the lines.
Yeah. Okay. So will you do a quick clip for me?
Sure.
Will you, so, you know, think about my clientele. Okay. And I'm just making this up. Will you announce me as, you know, John Bates?
Oh, you want me to,
the drill instructor?
Like you're coming on stage?
Well, or like, you know, to use somewhere, like, I'll tell you what I'm going to ask you to say, John Bates.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to type it up really quick. Hold on.
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah. Okay, good, great. Good.
Okay, go ahead. John Bates.
In fact, let's play with it. Like, whatever thoughts you have about it, it's not very complicated. John Bates, the drill instructor for your greatness.
Okay. Okay. Anything else that you kind of wanted to add to that? Just, you know, I'm thinking what else.
Yeah. Anything else you can think of, you know.
Okay.
I'll have to reach out and negotiate with you after this.
you know, it's really funny. I have a really good friend who's a magician, and he works at Disneyland in Los Angeles, in Orange County. Uh-huh. And so I did, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Disney. What's the area they call outside Disneyland now with California Adventure? There's a name.
I don't know.
So tonight, you know, Disneyland presents the magic of Jeff Palmer. You know, it's like one of those things. And, and he goes, I just love every time I do it, I play it, and there you are, Larry. Yeah. You know, and
that's great. Yeah, so, I do. I love it. Yeah. Okay, so maybe I got to get you to do the lead into the podcast.
That'd be totally fun. All right. So here we go.
All right.
Good evening. John Bates, the drill instructor for your greatness. Working with John will make the difference in your speaking and listening to those that matter most.
Woo! Nice! I love it. And I love that you threw in "and listening."
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Those that matter most. That's great! Yay! Well, so listen, let me flip the question because we got about 5 minutes left here. Is there anything else that you would want to say to, you know, an audience of entrepreneurs and leaders and people who get the difference that communication makes and want to better themselves and have an impact?
The two things that always come up is, I always, you know, it always, everybody, I'm sure you say this to the people that are your clients, that, you know, there are the two biggest fears in life are speaking in front of people and death. And they're actually in that order.
Yeah.
You know, which is really amazing. And it's really, I think one of the things that you look at is, well, why is that? If that's your case, if you're more afraid of speaking in front of people than actually dying, you got to look at why it is that that's so. Like, I'm just, and it's, you know, it's a little bit of being cocky. But it's more like, I think what I have to say, I'm not going to say something unless I think it's important. And I really come from a heartfelt place. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I really want you to get this because I think it'll make a difference in your life. And that's where I come from. When you come from really trying, when you come from providing something for people, for being of service to people, that what you have to say is of value as a service to them, then all of a sudden it gives you a reason to be there rather than just being afraid of standing in front of the audience. You know, and again, listen, my background, I was a professional musician. I was a drummer. I was on stage a lot, and I did a lot of talking on stage. But you know, I was also had four or five other guys around me, you know, so there was a lot of comfort there. But still, it's just about having what you're trying to present to people, that it really matters to you And it really matters to you that you really want them to get it. It matters that they get it as well. That's probably one of the biggest things for sure. Just in public speaking in general, you know, it's not interesting to you. It's not going to be interesting to them.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's just the way it is. You know, it's funny because I have a friend who is a retired doctor and a voice actor. And one of the things that he does is he reads medical narration. Like he read the entire study guide, like 400,000 words.
Oh my gosh.
To pass the boards in California. Well, for him, that's interesting. Me, not only would I be struggling with the words, but I'd be really bored because I don't know what any of it means.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I
think
having it be of interest to you and having it matter is what really matters.
I couldn't agree more.
And if anybody has a question like specifically and they want to just contact me, I'm really generous with my time. I love assisting people and really having them accurately distinguish what it is that might be stopping them, might be holding them back. And, you know, we can talk about it. We can figure it out, you know, like what it is in your speaking that might not be working or what's behind the speaking, why it's not coming out the way you want it to come out.
Yeah, great. Well, they can reach you, lh@larryhudsonvo.com. Your website is larryhudsonvo.com. And I can back you up on what you just said. Larry is a big-hearted, great, kind, generous man. And I really appreciate you taking the time with me. It's so great. So great to talk to you again. And we'll be talking a lot more, I think, going forward.
Absolutely.
So thanks for joining us on speaklikealeader.show. And to you listening, thank you for joining us on speaklikealeader.show. I hope that you had at least close to as much fun as we did. And I'll see you next time. Thanks. Thank you for joining the Speak Like a Leader podcast. Go be awesome.